Chapter 11, The Fall. When God created man, he made him in his own image and after his likeness. In this state, man was holy and innocent and delighted to do the will of his Maker. His heart was upright, delighting to obey his beneficent Creator. His affections were set upon God, whom he loved and adored. His understanding was enlightened as to his relationship to God and what was required of him in the way of obedience. His will was set upon doing that which was right and pleasing to God, while his conscience was lively in testifying of his acceptance, so long as he continued in the path of obedience. In this happy condition, Adam was created and lived, as did also his wife Eve, whom God made to be with him. They were placed in the beautiful Garden of Eden, where everything was provided for their sustenance and delight. Nothing that could make the creature truly happy was lacking. They were at liberty to walk among the trees and herbs, to partake of all the delicious fruits which they brought forth, and to drink of the pure crystal waters which flowed through the midst. The man was pleasantly occupied in dressing and keeping the garden, and conversed lovingly with his fair and intimate companion, and doubtless their chief delight was to speak of their Creator and his great goodness to them in thus providing for their happiness, and in coming himself to commune with them in the shades of evening and the cool of the day. As night came on, they would sweetly rest themselves with refreshing sleep. No cold nor heat, no cutting winds, no storms would mar their happiness, no fear of death or calamities, and they lived harmoniously among the beasts and other living creatures without dread or danger. O happy and blessed state! How different from the world and mankind as we see and know them today! What has made the change? This is the solemn question which we would now seek to answer. In the beautiful Garden of Eden, there was the Tree of Life in the midst, and the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil, Genesis 2, verse 9. It pleased their Creator to make this latter tree a test of their obedience to him, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die," Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. Of all the trees that were provided for their refreshment and nourishment, there was but this one that they were denied, and doubtless both Adam and Eve realized the propriety of such a restriction and desired to observe and obey it. But the tempter came into this happy scene, Satan, the prince of the fallen angels, who had been cast out of heaven for their disobedience, envied the happy pair and sought to cast them down from their felicity. He came in the form of a serpent and approached the woman as the weaker vessel. He suggested first that God had not said that they were not to eat of the forbidden tree. But this Eve firmly denied, saying, "God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die," Genesis 3, verse 3. Then Satan gave the lie direct. "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In this way he beguiled Eve through his subtlety, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. And she was attracted to desire to eat of the tree. Alas, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis 3, verse 6. This was what is truly called the fall of man. In this way, sin entered into our first parents and into the world, and the solemn threatening of their Creator took place upon them, "Thou shalt surely die." Spiritual death at once came upon their souls. In due time, mortal death came upon their bodies, and eternal death and destruction would ensue if provision were not made for their salvation. Spiritual death invaded their whole being, blinded their understandings, distorted their affections, corrupted their wills, and hardened their consciences. No longer could they welcome the approach of their Creator, and when He came in the cool of the day, their consciences of guilt made them try to hide themselves from His presence. But this was impossible, and He brought them to acknowledge what they had done, although the man blamed the woman, and the woman blamed the serpent. Then followed those temporal judgments which have continued to the present day: the man to eat his bread with the sweat of his face, the ground being cursed so as to bring forth thorns and thistles, and the woman to bear and bring forth children in labor and sorrow. It is also solemnly true that this death has passed upon all men, as it is written, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 5, verse 12. Adam was set as the head of all mankind, and when he fell, all his future race fell too. If he had stood in obedience, we had stood in him as well. But in him we all sinned, and the death that came upon him because of that first transgression comes upon all mankind. Therefore it is that we must say with David, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 51, verse 5. And, "Being born in sin, we are dead in trespasses and sins." Ephesians 2, verse 1. And continue so unless we be quickened by the Spirit into divine life. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Isaiah 53, verse 6. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalm 58, verse 3. This is called the doctrine of original sin. And if it were possible, which it is not, that we could live without sin, we should still be guilty on account of Adam's transgression. But we know that we add to that original sin the guilt of innumerable transgressions of thought and word and deed. As to the extent of this spiritual death, it permeates every part of our being. There is no part of our nature sound or whole, but all is defiled. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6, verse 5. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans 3, verses 10 to 18. What a fearful state, then, mankind is in. Here is the root and spring of all the crimes and wickedness that are in the world, or have ever been committed. A blessed thing it is, if we are taught by the Holy Spirit and brought to feel and realize that we have the malady within our own hearts, and that it runs and permeates through all our members, for then we shall despair of help in ourselves, and cry to God to save us from this awful state, to wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, create in us a clean heart, and renew within us a right spirit.